Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC, now together to serve you better, and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics. There is but one Tuesday left before Ohio State is back on the practice field. This Talkin' Tuesday, it's another preview. It's another hypothetical Ryan Day version.
This is it, right? Next Talkin' Tuesday, we'll have
that's a real one.
Watch now, practice, right?
We'll find out because... Oh. You know, salute to a legend. Jerry Emig is now officially retired. We have a new SID in place for Ohio State football. So we don't know
what
the viewing periods are going to look like. We don't know what the press conferences are going to look like yet. We have not found that out. But theoretically, it won't be a theoretical Talkin' Tuesday at this time next week. It'll be a real one.
It'll be a real Talkin' Tuesday.
Welcome to The Beat, presented by the Waterworks. He is television's Adam King. I am... wherever.
Radio's Austin Ward.
I'm just Austin Ward here to get whatever's on the mind of Adam King, which I'm going to try and predict something.
Okay.
You were at the NFL Combine.
Yes.
There's a notion that Ohio State with 5 first round picks should have accomplished more.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder if that's got you a little bit heated on this Talkin' Tuesday.
That's wild, because we actually didn't talk about this.
We did not, but I'm just guessing.
And it was really, really annoying that people kept saying that. Everyone's like, oh, Lorenzo Styles ran so fast. How did Ohio State lose? Oh, Sonny Styles is a freak. How did Ohio State lose?
Both of those guys play defense, for starters.
Yeah, Ohio State didn't lose because of their defense. Oh, I mean, I don't know if you watched the Miami game, but that's the only reason the game wasn't 45-14. Ohio State lost.
Maybe it would have helped if Lorenzo Styles had a healthy shoulder.
That's true. That also would have helped. He had not really a healthy season at all. Had some issues there. Yeah, that was silly. That very much was frustrating, and it kept being said by a lot of people. Like, Ohio State's offense was the problem, and it wasn't Carnell Tate, who's also a first-rounder. He was not the problem. The problem was that they were trying to piece things together with the offensive line there at the end of the season, and it just did not live up to the expectation there the final few weeks. And then Julian Sain kind of having one of his more down games where he wants to learn from it. I think we can all agree. It was the offense just kind of, quite frankly, being a little discombobulated there the last couple weeks with the Brian Hartline stuff. And I don't think that's anything that is surprising to anybody. But yeah, that's such a, I don't know. And also, I also thought to myself, people were like, how did Ohio State not win more? They won the national title. Like, I don't know. Like, if Ohio State had 5 first round picks, maybe 4 of the top 7, and didn't win the year before, it'd be like, oh my gosh, they really let a lot of this talent.
Wait, so you're telling me that Sonny Styles and Carnell Tate and Caleb Downs were key pieces of a national championship? So they did win one of those?
Well, I think it was Caleb Downs who made a tackle against Texas that saved a touchdown early on in the game.
Okay.
I'm trying to think here. I think Sonny Styles moving to linebacker, I think it was kind of big.
I think he decapitated someone in the Texas game.
That checks out. Carnell Tate, I'm pretty sure, was the wide receiver 3 and playing every single snap pretty much in that game. It's just very 10,000 feet view to just say, people just say things. We have to get people to stop just saying things. If you're gonna have opinions, you got to start backing them up. That is my feeling.
Yeah, I mean, and I get what they're saying, that they're talking about, and not everybody. We're
generalizing.
If there are people.
If it's not you, I apologize. Yeah, listen, if you're listening and you're like, I agree, then I'm sorry that you had to sit through this.
Yeah, but we're on your side. Mm-hmm. And listen, America, if you think.
I'm talking to America here.
That Ohio State didn't accomplish as much as they should have in 2025. I won't be able to ever convince you otherwise. That's how you feel. And the NFL draft success that is on the way, coming out of the combine after Pro Day later on in March, whatever happens with the number of first-round draft picks in Pittsburgh in April, if you feel like something got away from Ohio State, I totally understand. But it is a reflection of how dramatically these players that we're talking about, and not just the 5 first-round picks, but also Lorenzo Styles and Davis and Igbinosin and Will Kazmarek and Max Clair and on down the list, how wildly they changed the expectations for what Ohio State could accomplish based on where we were sitting right here now. If we had had a Talking Tuesday before spring ball a year ago, what would we have been saying? Gosh, look at how are you going to replace? You just had Jack and JT and Ty at the combine, and you're losing all of these pieces on both sides of the football and veterans, like, how are they ever going to do this? Well, it'd be great if they could just beat Michigan in 2025. That was the realistic expectation. And then Caden McDonald turned into a superstar and the best defensive lineman in the Big Ten. Like, those are all good things. And it's fair that you can adjust the expectations and the standard and everything else as you go along. Like, that's real life. But I don't think it should be used to diminish what Ohio State accomplished as a team, because no one was saying this team's going to go 12-0 and they're going to go into the Big House and they're absolutely going to manhandle Michigan.
And I think
that wasn't the conversation at this time a year ago.
I think Ohio State would tell you in retrospect that they very much did not achieve what they wanted to achieve. I don't think.
And it's fine to be disappointed in that.
Yes, exactly. But to act like these guys, to act like somehow this was like not proper utilization of amazing talent when there's literally a national championship trophy that all of the, I guess the only one that didn't really play a massive role in the national title run was Caden McDonald. Like, all the other four, and Arvell was coming on. So,
and but Caden, he was not a full-timer.
Yeah.
But he was in a complimentary, supplementary role because you had another first-round pick in Tylaik Williams, and you had Ty Hamilton, an NFL player as well, both at defensive tackle. Like, that, you know, that was a reminder as well. If we're talking about the way Ohio State played, there wasn't another Caden McDonald behind Caden McDonald at defensive tackle last year for Ohio State, which then ties into everything else. Why did they have to play at a slower tempo? They were trying to protect the defense. They did not want to ask Caden McDonald to play 75 snaps a game. It would not have been fair. And then also the same would have been true for Sonny Styles or Arvell Reese or Caleb Downs. Like, they're diminishing returns for your defense that way. And anyway, that's a long walk for a short drink of water. But I didn't really realize how much of that was out there. And then
it's everywhere.
And then Monday at the live show, Bobby was like incredibly fired up about it. And I was like, Bo had asked me about it, Bo Bishop, earlier on Monday. And I was like, I wonder where Adam King is on this. That's all I could think about.
So here's the funny thing is that, like, I could get into this mic and yell about it because I do, you know, there are things that get me very fired up. I think I was fired up on the last one about how stupid the playoff format is. But no,
you're not wrong.
I don't think that the people that are saying that, they are coming from a 10,000 foot view, and they're saying, okay, look at all this talent. They should have won every game. The thing that I kept seeing was, how did Ohio State lose? Talent only gets you so far. And when you think that four of those guys play defense, it answers your question in about that much.
Yeah.
So, and the problem was not Cardinal Tate. So, but getting back to this year's team, we're here. Like, we've made it.
March is here.
So Talkin' Tuesday is typically when we do a thing where I ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, you wanted to go back and do that.
But if you – no.
I made you give your actual thoughts.
No. I wanted to ask you, if you will.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm allowed to do that.
Oh.
What?
Well, there are no rules.
There are no rules.
And there's no script.
There is one rule. What is your, like,
one
most
– bite? Two bites?
One bite, everybody knows the rules. Yeah,
is that the only rule?
I was thinking
that's a different show.
There's a Little Caesars commercial where the guy walks in and he says, there's no rules. And he takes his shirt off and they go, put your shirt back on. And he goes, there's one rule. That's my favorite, one of my favorite commercials of all time. If you know that commercial, comment down below. Also, I haven't talked about the comments in a while. I still read them all the time.
Yeah, he does. He sends them to me.
Mm-hmm. And Austin's like, stop sending me those.
And I didn't ask him to do that.
No. What are you, I get to put you and let you watch practice. What are you watching first? What are you most zoomed in on? And then I'll give mine.
Wow. That's a really great question.
Thank you.
Is that why we call this Talkin' Tuesday? Because you have all the questions?
Because I have all the questions.
First thing, A number one, I would very much like to see in spring camp where Christian Aliegro lines up for Ohio State. Because I think it's going to be multiple places. And you think, well, that's a strange place to start. But with what Ohio State is trying to accomplish here, and we know that Matt Patricia is going to be back for a second season at Ohio State, I think that there's also a reasonable anticipation that he's going to add more schematic flexibility and versatility than we even saw in year one, which was plenty. But I wonder how much Christian Aliegro plans into that because of his ability to stand up on the edge and rush the passer, to play really either linebacker spot, to just say you're going to go do the things that Sonny Styles or Arvell Reese or Kenyatta Jackson or Caden Curry did a year ago. Like that sounds like a insane workload to put on anybody. But I remember going into Camp Randall in that matchup last year and getting a question at Letterman Row about, like, is there anyone on Wisconsin's roster, anyone that would crack the starting lineup or provide depth for Ohio State? And Christian Aliegro was the guy. Every time I watched the Badgers, he flashed to me. And then in that game, once we got up there, he breaks his forearm, just has them, you know, strap a cast right on it, goes back in there and plays the rest of the game. Like if Luke Fickell and James Laurinaitis and Matt Patricia all say, this guy's got it, that's good enough for me. One out of the three would be fine, but three out of the three said, this is someone who can do whatever you want. Really, maybe not defensive tackle, but like any other spot in the front seven that he can play there. How many of those spots is he going to learn? Where are we going to see him the most? If I got to watch all 15 practices, that'd be great, because I'd like to just count the number of different spots he stands on the field, because I think that he has a real chance that he's maybe – we talked about him, or he was someone that they got out of the transfer portal quickly at him in the midst of the chaos when it was like, why aren't they getting more? He was a top-of-the-board target for Ohio State, and I think there's a reason for that, and I'd like to see what it looks like now that he's got Scarlet and Gray on and he gets to – go into a camp where there's going to be different pieces out there.
Well, I'm going with another guy that's coming in from the outside, and it's actually two guys. I'm very, very intrigued.
Oh, boy.
What?
Okay.
I don't think you know this.
You're doing better than me, I think.
No, I don't think you know what I'm going to say.
Okay, let's go.
I'm intrigued to see Cortez Hankton.
Yeah.
Is that what you thought I was going to say?
I was new coaches. We need to meet them.
So I'm intrigued to see Cortez Hankton. Obviously, I'm also intrigued to see Arthur Smith just with an Ohio State logo. Like, that's going to be an interesting thing. Always, you know, like, I remember when Chip Kelly first had an Ohio State hat, I was like, whoa.
Because we need Berm to take like 100 photos of him so that we don't have to have photoshopped AI covers anymore.
Exactly.
We don't use AI.
But I want
to. I don't trust the robots.
That's right. I don't know what that looks like right now in that room. And I'm very intrigued. If I could be a fly on the wall, if I could sit up and just watch. I want to see how Chris Henry Jr. fits in, because Cortez Hankton has the best way, like no predetermined experience in that room. With the players, I mean, he's got experience. But
Kyle Parker, he coached.
Yes, yes. Okay, yes, I see what you're saying. I'm saying, but like you're not walking in and saying like, okay, Chris Henry Jr. Like if Brian Hartley was here, the room would be very, it would have its kind of flow. You're walking into a new room with new guys. And so I wonder if Hankton is pretty much like, we all know that Chris Henry Jr. is going to have to be on the field this fall a lot for Ohio State. So I wonder if they are just like, hey, we're treating you just as if you were a sophomore or you were a junior. We're not playing this game where we let you dip your toe in the water or take your time. And does that mean, like, if we're lining up reps right now, is it Brandon Ennis, Jeremiah Smith, and then go, Chris, go. Like it, because so often, college football has changed so much. And before, the idea of a freshman on the first day of spring practice being anywhere but the back of the line trying to figure out what's going on, it would be outrageous. But you can't live in that world anymore. You've got to go, and you've got to go now. And I have no doubt that Cortez Hankton has been very hands-on over the past few months with all the guys as they go through winter workouts. So when they get there, how much do they put the kid gloves on with Chris Henry and say, not yet, not yet, not yet? Or do they say, hey, we got to go. We don't have the ability. I mean, you're talking about a guy that Jeremiah Smith created an interesting concept at Ohio State.
An unmatchable concept.
Yes. But he also, I'm trying to think, and correct me if I'm wrong here. I think I have to go back to Braxton Miller. For a freshman that showed up, and I even remember with Braxton, Urban was very hesitant to let him. The Joe Bowserman experience.
Well, he didn't start from day one.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like it was a process to get him in. Jeremiah, Ohio State leaned into the fact that this is our investment. We know that this guy is great. We need to play him now. I can't think of another guy on the offensive side. They kind of did it with Devin Sanchez last year. They leaned into Devin Sanchez after a few games.
He didn't start.
No, but he did get going there in the end. So it kind of sets a precedent, certainly in that room. But then you set a – but the precedent now is completely shifted, because what if Cortez Hankton – and we don't know this. We haven't had a chance to talk to him. Yep. What if his theory is this guy's a freshman? I'm not expecting this guy to start day one. I'm going to make him, you know, be where all the freshmen are. I would love to see the intricacies of that room right now.
Well, that's the dynamic, isn't it? I mean, Mark Pantone is going to maybe point at the salary cap over here and be like,
say, gotta play.
Probably going to have to play out here. And then – maybe Ryan Day or Arthur Smith or Cortez Hankton. I don't know. Maybe all three of them. He's like, well, here's the practice over here. Here's what Kyle Parker did. Here's what Jerquaden Guilford did. Mm-hmm. Here's what Devin McEwen did. Here's what Brandon Ennis is doing. Like, it's the combination of those two things. Because Berm talks about this a lot, that the situation has changed. The scenario has changed. The playing time has to match up with the investment piece. And I'm not pushing back against that. But... And cover your ears if you don't like the brotherhood buzzword, if you're sick and tired of hearing about it.
Why do people not like that word?
I don't know. Because Ohio State didn't win a national championship last year, I guess. But the culture is important. It is critical.
Culture is the culture. 4-6, A to B.
Standard is the standard. Tough love. Our culture is fight. Find the edge. That's a different culture. You have to still earn it on the field. Yep. And I think that's more than anything else. Like, you say, could he be at the front of the line on next Tuesday? Yeah, he could be. I'd be surprised if he was, because what would we be going off of? That purely the financial investment and then 6 or 7 weeks of winter workouts. Maybe that is enough. Sometimes that happens.
The brotherhood takes a big hit if you do that. That's a good point.
Because, well, not if he...
Not if he earned it?
Not if he's earned it.
Yeah.
And everyone else will know that if he has. It becomes a bigger problem to the brotherhood and the culture if they look at that and say, what, whoever, this is not specific to Chris Henry Jr. I don't know what his workouts have looked like. I know that.
I get what you're saying, though. Like, what has that guy earned to be at the front of the line?
Because when that happened for Jeremiah, literally everyone in the building said, he's different. He's the LeBron James of wide receivers, mm-hmm. and then he earned an Iron Buckeye as a true freshman.
Yeah.
So if Chris Henry does that, and if we see him next Tuesday or next Thursday or Student Appreciation Day or spring game or whatever in that role, well, that'll mean a lot more about the work that he's done rather than what his recruitment was like to me.
I don't remember. I'd have to go look how long it took Jeremiah to lose his black stripe. But I
think he was born without it.
It's very true. When he signed his letter of intent, yeah. They were like, all right, that's fine.
It's good.
I would just like, and this is kind of a sidebar question for Ryan almost, is as you get set for this next season, if you had to rank, and this is not, they do black stripes with transfers too.
Yeah.
If you had to rank guys that you want to lose their black stripe in what order? What, not based off of like, hey, I'm rooting for them. Like the importance
of need.
Of need. Like I would love to sit down and have, obviously he's not going to rank all. And this is my last point.
That sounds like a lie detector question.
A lie detector there question it of, is. Of what is the order?
Is there a lie detector company that wants to sponsor Talking Tuesday?
That's right. And we will never actually be able to use it, but we will run a little crawl at the bottom. It's just because that's such an interesting concept, because in his head, it's not about what do I need to see on the field come Ball State or come the Texas game, but it's about I need this from this person to be a leader in that room or to have advanced so much that we feel, as they do at Ohio State, you get to remove your black stripe.
Right.
It would not surprise me if Christian Allegro is one of those guys that is early on losing his stripe. But there are certain rooms that need it more. And it's crazy to say this. I feel like the wide receiver room, they have Brandon Ennis, they have Jeremiah Smith. I'm very intrigued to see how that wide receiver three plays out, because we all believe that it is Chris Henry Jr. and then everyone else. But that's not, you can't walk in as a freshman on day one and be given that. And then in the running back room, I mean, there is no two guys right now. They're out with shoulder surgeries. So yeah. how does everyone else come in and, you know, push their way into the front of that line? So this spring, it brings such an interesting concept, because we have talked so much about the culture and brotherhood and the balance of everything. And My big thing, I'm going to be very intrigued about the Black Stripes because I want to see how the balance affects the culture at certain positions. Okay, we know, we look at defensive line.
Yeah, there's a lot of change going on.
Guy like Edric Houston, we expect to be a leader on this team. We expect him to start to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got to now balance with a couple Alabama guys who are in the room. And how does that all work out? And I'm so intrigued to see in these first couple weeks of spring, just the balance of the new faces. And it's kind of exciting because in the past, Chris Henry Jr. is an anomaly here because you expect him to play. But in the past, it was like, okay, well, everybody kind of earns their role here. Everybody kind of works their way up. Now,
go play special teams.
Yeah, go play. Exactly. Go play special teams. Make a couple plays there. We'll learn your name, and then you'll start making a name for yourself. Now it's like, okay, we're going to know by week two what this looks like and what everyone thinks about those transfers and what they think about, you know, the freshmen that are expected to make an immediate impact.
Yeah, I mean, you said it well. Spring means change, and seasons change.
You know what else makes an immediate impact?
Yes, it's the Waterworks.
There it is.
And Header Heating and Cooling. Comfort doesn't change, all right? So call the Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing for maintenance, installation, and repairs, or visit online at thewaterworks.com. The Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. You were talking about also this applying to running back, Adam, and I don't generally do this, and people who have watched the beat or read my work for the last 15 years will know that I like to be cautious, and I always urge a more conservative approach with instant impact true freshmen. And really, even until like July of Jeremiah Smith's debut season, I was still trying to do that with him.
Yeah, they talk about it a lot in the comments.
Yeah, he's the exception to the rule.
I'm kidding.
No, I mean, maybe they do. But I am allowing myself a little bit, because of what you're talking about with opportunities at wide receiver and the injuries at running back, combined with Ryan Day speaking into a live microphone and calling Legend Bay like Tyreek Hill. Like, okay, well, is he a running back? Is he a wide receiver? Is he a hybrid weapon? Where is he? How many snaps is he going to get in the spring that he would not have ordinarily got? What does that do to his platform to maybe earn a role that we're not expecting? So if you're saying watching every snap of what could that look like? I don't like to be that person. It's like, it's got to be the next guy. It's got to be a true freshman. Think about all the buzz around this guy. The hype is real. Going into a spring camp, and what can Carlos Lachlan or Cortez Hankton or Arthur Smith bring out of him in a hurry? I don't know, but we have a rule, and you know this, Adam. If Ryan Day is speaking into a live microphone, mm-hmm. he knows that it's a live microphone, and he doesn't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make accidents.
He's very intentional. Okay, so it's March 3rd here.
Yes.
If I had,
don't look that up, America.
I had to say at the end of the season, right now, okay. I'm going to make you lock it in.
Oh boy,
does he have more snaps?
Not at bold predictions on March 3rd
on running back or wide receiver.
I think he has to.
We're going to need an answer, sir.
I think he will have more carries than he will have catches. But I want to see one thing that Ohio State has maybe not.
Are you qualifying the backwards pass as a carry?
I'm talking. The other thing that I truly love are pop passes.
Okay.
Jet sweeps.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see some of that return. Think about the best version of Ryan Day's offense and mesh concepts and pop passes and motion and reverse motion and ghost motion and end arounds and like. Some fun, you know?
Some fun.
How about a little fun out there?
So you think he's Curtis Samuel?
Yeah. I think that he is in the Curtis Samuel mold.
That's okay.
And so he, and we know that like Curtis Samuel could do both of those things.
Yeah.
If you're asking me where does Legend Bay finish his career at Ohio State, I would say I'm probably more inclined to go with like slot receiver weapon.
Wow.
But there are things about Legend Bay, and I would turn on the film and it's like, is this guy, is he Curtis Samuel? Is he Paris Campbell?
I get your concern, because the one thing you don't want to do is say this about Legend Bay, and then the next thing you know, it's Dontre Wilson. Yeah.
I didn't want to say that.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough, because that's what was just the same conversation that we had back then.
When I first started covering the team in 2012, at Urban Meyer's first year, it was all he would just call it the Percy position. And I bet that I wrote about it 100 times. Mm-hmm. Because Jordan Hall, for all of his strengths and his record is now gone, he was not Percy Harvin. Most human beings aren't.
No.
Dontre Wilson was definitely not Percy Harvin. Curtis Samuel was as close, I think, as Ohio State got to that. He and Paris both, I think, had some of that, you know, next level gear to them, ability to be a running back, ability to play wide receiver.
Jalen Marshall is an interesting comp.
Yeah, I kind of skipped over that one.
To a greater degree. Like, I think he could be a better Jalen Marshall at the end of his career.
I think you'd take that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good things at Jalen Marshall.
There were a lot. Mind you, he won a national title. So,
if we're just talking also about guys who previously held records for punt or kickoff returns,
there Jordan Ellinger. That's true.
Really, really bringing it full circle, aren't we? That's what we try and do on a Talking Tuesday.
It's amazing.
You know, at this time next week, there's going to be a practice.
Football! Sorry, we have to be quiet. There's a show going on in the other studio.
Oh, that's all right. Well, this is our studio, Studio B. We got the TVs are down here lower. You can actually see the full graphic. It says Talking Tuesday with Adam King. That's Adam King right there. If you didn't know that already.
I'm me.
This has been The Beat, brought to you by The Waterworks. I'm so excited to get to next week.
I can't believe it. Finally. Let's just
keep this train rolling and get back into the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to Television's Adam King. I am Austin Ward.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you later.